Hello, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from Not Your Mother's Goose, where Santa is on his way to fill your stocking with Big Bad Wolf jokes and more. I'm Topher Goggin, and coming up today, we're about to announce the Speedy 16 and get you up to date on all the results in the first three rounds in our Tournament of Disney Rides. I will tell you there were some great matches and at least a couple of surprising results as far as I'm concerned. We're also going to take a close look at Ratatouille, the story, not the ride this time, find out about Peloton's new home flying carpet in the news, and check in with Frosty and Rudolph for Christmas. We've also assembled another panel of experts for a new round of analysis of the rides tournament that is every bit the disaster you'd expect based on past experience. And that's still not all, as it wouldn't be Christmas without a song on Rapunzel's jukebox, and Andrew Mitchell has come down the chimney with a reworked hit from The Circle for us. We better get started if we're going to get all this in before Santa arrives. Your rides tournament results are up next. So here we go. Time to bring you up to speed on our Tournament of Disney Rides presented by World of Walt. If you weren't with us on the last show, we've partnered with Herb from worldofwalt.com to run a March Madness-style tournament to pick the best attraction at all of Walt Disney World in Florida. We started with 40 rides, 16 at Magic Kingdom, and 8 each at Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom, and we're going to play all the way down to 1. And I will tell you, I filled out a bracket before we started, and it is busted. We got the action underway at Magic Kingdom, and our selection committee was feeling pretty good about themselves at that point. All of the higher seeds prevailed with just one exception. The Mine Train, Splash Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, no problems for them. But number 11, Peter Pan, dug deep into the jar of pixie dust and took out the number 6 People Mover, which incidentally has won similar tournaments like this in the past. Big picture though, no major surprises at that point. That moved us to a week of voting at Epcot and Hollywood Studios. Again at Epcot, the top seeds were strong, with Soarin' and Test Track winning easily against Mission Space and the Three Caballeros with their Grand Fiesta Tour. Frozen Ever After had a slipperier road against Living with the Land, but did win. And the real battle was the brand new Remy's Ratatouille Adventure against the signature ride in the park, Spaceship Earth. Spaceship Earth led that one early, Remy then surged back to the front, and eventually it was Remy who held on with just 51% of the vote, just enough to win. So while Epcot had one close one, the action at Hollywood Studios was a slugfest, which was expected. Rise of the Resistance won easily against the Muppets, and Toy Story Mania was actually stronger than I expected, getting nearly 70% of the votes against Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. The other matches, though, not so easy. Number 3 Slinky Dog Dash had to come from behind to squeak past Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway with 53%, yet that was basically a rout when you compare it to the 4-5 game between Rock and Roller Coaster and the Tower of Terror. I think the biggest lead in this whole thing was maybe 20 or 21 votes, and at the end the seesaw did point in the direction of Rock and Roller, 420 to 402, that close. This most recent week, we opened up Animal Kingdom and then went back to Magic Kingdom. Animal Kingdom basically followed expectations, easy wins from Flight of Passage, the Safari, and Expedition Everest. My only question coming in was the last match, and Cali River Rapids won pretty convincingly against the Navi River Journey, which bodes well for Disney poncho sales. From there, though, we come back to Magic Kingdom, where wow was their action. Big Thunder Mountain cleaned Peter Pan's clock, and Space Mountain took out the Jungle Cruise. No huge stunners there. But the number one seed, the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, it careened off track and crashed courtesy of a dominant showing from the number 8 Haunted Mansion. The mansion dusted off the Dwarfs 64% of the vote to the number 8 seed. Based on the first round numbers, though, I thought the matchup between number 2 Splash Mountain and number 7 Pirates of the Caribbean looked like it might be the best in the tournament, and it was. Talk about two loyal fan bases here. This thing was still in doubt to the last day, with Pirates leading, Splash getting as close as 5 votes. In the end, it was a 6-vote margin for Jack Sparrow, 459 to 453, just enough to move on to the next round. So that's where we are for the Speedy 16. Over the next 3 weeks before our next show, we'll whittle the field down from 16 to the final 2, and then we will have that episode before the finals. Here's the first set of matches that will help us get there. At Magic Kingdom, Haunted Mansion against Space Mountain, and Pirates of the Caribbean against Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. The Animal Kingdom matchups are Avatar Flight of Passage against Cali River Rapids, and Kilimanjaro Safaris against Expedition Everest. Epcot brings you Soarin' against Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, and what I think will be a great one, Test Track against Frozen Ever After. Finally, Hollywood Studios, that is still just a, wow, it's a boxing ring over there. Number one, Rise of the Resistance takes on number four, Rock and Roller Coaster, and number two, Toy Story Mania against number three, Slinky Dog Dash. Wow. So to vote, remember, you can go to notyourmothersgoose.com. Do it right now. The ballot is right there. It takes less than a minute to fill out. Thank you so much for all your support so far. We've had nearly 2,800 votes. We'll play this thing right down to the wire. Now, let's check out the other Ratatouille, the story, which I will tell you I did record while that ride was in action at Epcot. I didn't know whether it was going to win. Now we know that it did. Let's go tune in with Remy. Ratatouille. I will tell you right now that as I record this segment, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure is literally ahead of Spaceship Earth by one vote in the Tournament of Rides. So while you listening to this already know whether it won and moved on, I do not. And therefore, I don't know whether I should be making a joke about Spaceship Earth's features on great human innovations, including inventing a better mousetrap. It's just the way it goes sometimes. But on with the show. There's a lot of things we can learn from the movie Ratatouille. For instance, Disney is obviously not too concerned about teaching kids phonics or simple spelling. Though this does seem like one of those words that you might see in the National Spelling Bee, where if I was the pronouncer guy who keeps getting asked for the language of origin and to use it in a sentence, that sentence would be, Ratatouille is hard to spell. Best as I can tell, Disney ended up with a story about a rat that makes stew soup, mainly because the dish isn't called Catatouille or Natatouille, the latter of which would have made an interesting sequel to A Bug's Life. Clam chowder, I suppose, could have been an option if you wanted a character that was just a giant mouth, but we get a rat. The premise is pretty simple. A rat named Remy that loves to cook. He idolizes the French chef Gusteau and lives in his restaurant. Now, personally, I kind of wish that was Jacques Gusteau and he was running a steakhouse on a submarine, but in this case, Gusteau bears a strong resemblance to Chef Boyardee and has a simple motto, anyone can cook. Whatever you say, Jacques, just let me go fire up my toaster for you. One day, Remy makes some emergency repairs to a disastrous soup that had been made up by Linguini, the busboy, back in the kitchen. When that's a success, it's not long before Remy is the puppet master of the kitchen, basically using Linguini's hair like steering levers and driving Linguini like a backhoe from under his chef's took. The movie easily could have been called The Rat in the Hat, let's be honest here. We then go through a level of dramatic twists reminiscent of watching a week of General Hospital, starting with the discovery that Linguini is actually Gusteau's son and therefore owns the restaurant. Then we get a temporary feud between Linguini and Remy that leads to the Little Chef unleashing a Pied Piper battalion of rats on the pantry, Remy getting captured by the old owner, Linguini telling his staff that he got cooking lessons from a rat, leading to a staff walkout, followed by the staff being replaced by Remy's rat fam after a small kidnapping of the health inspector. Basically, you're going to want to bring a legal pad to take notes on all of this just in case there's a quiz. Finally, Gusteau's gets a great review from a newspaper reporter, which for me is the first sign of a restaurant where I will not like any of the food and that definitely will not be showing the game and I should just stay away. In this case, though, after the good review, business booms, until they de-kidnap the health inspector, which promptly gets the place condemned. No worries, though, the crew just sets up shop inside a former Pizza Hut across town, and business takes right back off. If we can just get the Swedish chef in to make his famous chocolate mousse for the sequel, 3 Michelin stars seem guaranteed. Holidays are close, but the news doesn't stop. Nor does whatever this is. Let's take a look at what's brewing over to the holiday news desk. Kids more freaked out than delighted by new gnome on the comb fad. Hansel gives stepmom Christmas list. Rocks, stones, pebbles, road flares, and cargo pants. Or a phone with GPS. And from our exercise department, new for Christmas, Peloton launches internet-enabled magic carpet. For the second year in a row, the most popular gift of the season is from Peloton, but this year it's not a bicycle. Hot on the heels of their home bikes, the company announced its latest innovation yesterday with the debut of its internet-enabled home flying carpet. "It's a whole new world," said Peloton spokesman Don Mackey of the project. "Let's face it, our bikes are great, but it's a lot of effort to push those pedals. Now you and Jasmine can see the sights of Agrabah and beyond, all without leaving your living room or burning any calories." The new Peloton carpets will elevate to a height of 42 inches, safe even for homes with low ceilings, and promise a ride so smooth you won't spill your bucket of popcorn and glass of wine. Users can also link to interactive flights and race their friends' rugs to the Taj Mahal, or join group classes where glistening instructors will tell them to sing their duets a little louder if they want to climb the leaderboard. Peloton indicated that it's also begun working on a railroad people can ride around their kitchen, which will be released as soon as they figure out how to build a strummable banjo with a USB connection. We've got to pause now for a sponsor announcement, and friends, I've got to tell you something. There is a crisis right now in the world of snack foods, and I'm not talking about those trans fats. I am talking about desserts that have trouble getting themselves across rivers and streams without getting soggy and mushy as a three-month-old Oreo. Finally, I think we've found an answer.
When the weather is downright swampy and Jeannie's taking bribes for cutsies on that riverboat ride, it just breaks my heart to see all those snickerdoodles patiently waiting in line, going stale. Well, you know what? Old Foxy's here to help. If you're a delectable treat properly suited for the dessert course, then sugar, we've got a supper. I do say it's a prime deal for you. That's right, you can count on old Sly the Foxy. Owner, proprietor, and chief swimming officer at Famished Fox Water Taxi. You see, since my early days helping that gingerbread man, I've dedicated my life to leading folks safely cross rivers. No one goes to waste. I'm the premier river ride share option for tasty treats everywhere. No matter if you're a peep, a gummy bear, or one of them Sour Patch Kids, you go ahead and book online, then hop aboard my nose for a delightful pleasure cruise to the other side. It's a 20-minute swim for me, but you'll be gone in 60 seconds. Here at Famished Fox, we may have a 2.2-star Uber rating and a grade D safety certification from the Better Business Bureau, but I can guarantee that an unsatisfied customer has never been found. So you go ahead and run those sweet hot cross buns just as fast as you can and make your Famished Fox crossing plans today.
Back now for more news, but first a thank you to the vocal talents of my cousin Sarah for her help with that one. Pretty soon we'll have had her entire extended family on the show doing ads in one form or another. She actually gets most of the credit for that one. I sent her a general idea that was kind of okay, and she's the one who fixed it and figured out how to make it work. She also is the one who conceptualized the Fox as what I would deem maybe one-third used car salesman, one-third Dolly Parton, and one-third Blanche from the Golden Girls. She definitely gets a gold star on this one. All right, let's see what else is in the news. Tigger, the new pitchman for Bounce dryer sheets. Dentist learns it's best to stand back when asking Pinocchio how often he flosses. And moving just past Christmas on the calendar, Beast named Grand Marshal of Rose Parade. The Tournament of Roses Association delivered a groundbreaking announcement yesterday, naming the Beast as Grand Marshal of the upcoming Rose Parade. Tournament President Robert Miller heralded the declaration, which follows past selections of Kermit the Frog and Mickey Mouse. "Listen," said Miller, "this is a real job, marshaling a parade. You gotta keep people in line, keep the floats moving, make sure the trombone player doesn't impale Willard Scott. That takes someone with a powerful personality, and the Beast is our guy." Miller went on to note that the Beast's election would also be a cost-saving measure, as he's offered to supply his own rose for the occasion. Miller did seem perplexed, however, as to the Beast's urgency to get that rose and its petals back to his castle, as authorities noted that some floats were clocked in excess of 45 miles per hour on Colorado Boulevard during rehearsal. The speed efforts also include a rumored attempt by the Beast to hire the little old lady from Pasadena to drive the giant bingo hopper float entered by the AARP this year. Go, Granny, go, Granny, go, Granny, go. And in case you were wondering, Well, Kermit the Frog and Mickey actually have been Grand Marshals. The actual Grand Marshal of the 2022 Rose Parade is the one and only LeVar Burton. As someone who watched a fair share of Reading Rainbow growing up, I'll just hope that LeVar doesn't mind sharing top billing with an 8-foot temperamental waltzing buffalo antelope. And in this case, you will have to take my word for it. Frosty and Rudolph. First of all, if you're wondering whether Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer belong on this show, let me direct you right to the verse that says, "Frosty the Snowman was a fairy tale, they say." And also to the fact that a couple days ago I wrote up the story of Inspector Gadget, so we've gone quite a ways far afield at this point. But now that that's settled, let's take a look at the tale of the tape for two popular Christmas characters who share an unbreakable bond, craptastic weather. We start with Rudolph, apparently the number 9 ranked reindeer on Santa's list because of his red honker. You get the feeling that if Santa made these 9 into a Little League team, Rudolph would be the kid that they stuck out in left field because he wanted to pick the dandelions and eat them. He was certainly not getting any flying assignments with Dasher and Dancer. If anything, Santa probably parked him on the runway at North Pole International, since his nose was more in the realm of a runway light than anything else. But then, of course, we get the history-altering turn of events. The fog rolls in on Christmas Eve, and rather than delay starting for 2 hours like they would if this was a school district, Santa opts to put Rudolph out in front of the sleigh as a navigational beacon. Maybe schools in the Bay Area should think about hiring Rudolph out and strapping him to the front of buses when the marine layer rolls in. You know, safety first here. Regardless, taking on this role as lead reindeer causes Rudy's popularity to surge, just like the guy in the Notre Dame football movie. That is a little hard to figure, though, since he's just taken their job and now gets all the attention in the group. But, you know, I'm not going to nitpick anything when Santa might be listening. Maybe they just figure that if his nose burns out like a Christmas light, he'll be the one that crashes into the chimney when they can't see where to land. Now, at the other end of the spectrum, we've got Frosty, the singing, dancing, and wildly popular snowman, whose song points out that he goes with a button for a nose rather than a 60 water. Frosty's got his own weather-related issues, though, namely being a snowman that was built on a day when, quote, the sun was hot that day. Now that doesn't strike me as quite, what's the word I'm looking for here, correct, and it definitely poses as many melting issues as an incandescent nose would have. We've also got to acknowledge that the old Frostman has taken a tumble in popularity the last few years. For a long time, there just wasn't any competition in the favorite snowman award department. It's a lot like Brooks and Dunn being up for Vocal Duo of the Year at the Country Music Awards any time in the 90s. But then finally, Florida Georgia Line showed up, and so did Olaf in the snowman world, and suddenly Frosty was relegated to the classic snowman channel, plus his once-a-year appearance with Rudolph on CBS. Thumpity-thump-thump, indeed. Here it is, what you've surely been waiting for the whole show. Just like we did with the Tournament of Villains, we've assembled a panel of poorly informed and unjustifiably opinionated experts to help guide you through the action in the Tournament of Rides. They'll be here in a moment, but first let me remind you that the Mine Train and Splash Mountain are out, upset victims to Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean. At the time we recorded this panel, the Pirates win wasn't official, as that came right down to the wire by a final tally of just 6 votes. The remaining rides and matchups going forward are Haunted Mansion versus Space Mountain and Pirates versus Big Thunder at Magic Kingdom. At Animal Kingdom, it's Flight of Passage taking on Cali River Rapids, and we'll see if there's a Yeti loose in the Serengeti as the Safari takes on Expedition Everest. Epcot has top-seeded Soarin' meeting Remy's Ratatouille Adventure and Test Track taking on Frozen Ever After. And finally, the pressure cooker of Hollywood Studios sees number 1 Rise of the Resistance squaring off with number 4 Rock and Roller and number 2 Toy Story Mania meeting number 3 Slinky Dog Dash. That's all you need to know. Now let's bring on the panel. Okay, well, we have assembled a new panel of experts. Some are also Disney villain experts, so you can anticipate what low level of analysis we're going to get from this group. Welcome, panel. This has been a very exciting tournament so far. We're going to start right with the breaking news. What is going on at Magic Kingdom with these upsets? The Mine Train is going to go down to Haunted Mansion. Splash Mountain is in deep trouble against Pirates of the Caribbean. We already saw an 11 seed win with Peter Pan in the first round. What is going on at Magic Kingdom?
I think it's a sign that the people who like Magic Kingdom are a bunch of pansies. They're afraid of the intensity of the rides. They can't handle the drop-on splash. They don't want to get wet. They forgot their ponchos at home. So they just got to go sit in Pirates where maybe they'll get a little splish splash here or there, but nothing too significant.
Let's go back to the first round. I was very surprised by this result. Peter Pan knocks off the People Mover. What happened there? How does Peter Pan get those votes as an 11 seed and take the People Mover out?
I think a lot of people were stuck in that line with nothing to do, so they voted. They're in the line of Peter Pan waiting that 90-minute wait time, and they cast their votes.
That seems to be about the only plausible explanation. Let's jump from Magic Kingdom and go over to Hollywood Studios, where that bracket is just kind of a death knell. You look at what happened in the first rounds there. A nice win by Toy Story Mania over Smuggler's Run, the Millennium Falcon. Then really close matchup. Slinky Dog Dash barely got away from Runaway Railway. And the marquee matchup between Rock and Roller and Tower of Terror. Did those surprise any of you on the panel?
I was heartbroken to see that Rock and Roller and Tower of Terror had to go head-to-head, because those, I think, are two of my favorite rides in the park in and of itself. I am curious now, though, with this Toy Story Mania versus Slinky Dog, you know, it's an in-house battle. Nobody's going to win.
Who comes out of Hollywood Studios? Can any of these rides take out Rise of the Resistance? Obviously, we've seen at Magic Kingdom that just because you're a top seed doesn't guarantee success.
I think if, to some of the panel's points, if you haven't rode that ride, you don't know what you're missing. If you've been on that ride, there's no way that that ride goes down. That ride is a phenomenal ride.
And you have the same opinion over at Epcot about Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, a four seed that you think is one of the best rides on property.
Yeah, it really is. It's just a fun, cute ride with a lot of tech built into it. And you really feel like you're getting chased around a kitchen by an angry chef.
What about the rest of the Epcot bracket? Can Remy hold its own against Soarin'? And what happens in Test Track against Frozen?
I think the ability to compete if within your family or with your friends about who can design the ugliest car, it really just puts Test Track a step ahead. The interactive nature there, the mockery, the who can have a 7 efficiency score because you put the plasma burner on there just for looks.
I let my kids design. I don't know. I don't recall the plasma burner being executed.
Are they building a little Prius in there with the wind sails?
We got some interesting cars. Nothing beats the hour wait just to get up there and have it start raining outside so the attraction closes.
You got to watch your radar.
Just for reference, as we had a discussion earlier about when these folks have been to the parks, we've got one panelist who was there 2 weeks ago, two panelists who will be there in less than 2 weeks, one person who will be there in less than 3 days, and one person who went in 2017 and it was about 20 degrees when he was there.
That's correct.
How do you feel like weather should be factored into the voting based on your experience of being there in basically the dead of winter?
I think if you look at my preferences, I think it's pretty clear. The best thing about bad weather is a short line at Splash Mountain. I was more than happy to keep riding that in a hat and coat and another hat and another coat.
I will piggyback off of that with two things. The only time ever in history I can remember this happening when it was freezing cold was at Disney with my mother. We rode in the front of a log. We got all the way back through the ride. We had not gotten wet. It was freezing. The cast member looked around. Not a soul in sight. And they said, do you want to go again? And we didn't have to get off. We then promptly got absolutely drenched and had to leave the park immediately because we were freezing.
Same question that we asked earlier. What do you think about the Animal Kingdom bracket? Is Flight of Passage a shoe in there, or does it suffer from the same newness and go down to somebody like the Safari or to Everest?
I think Flight of Passage's main vulnerability comes from the motion sickness prone crowd, as I rode that ride with my eyes closed and still wanted to throw up.
I see a lot of people making Disney plans after listening to this recording.
Oh gosh, yeah, they're flocking.
And speaking of which, Jeff, how long were you on hold with Disney earlier today?
47 minutes. I thought that was pretty good.
It's like half a Peter Pan.
It is half a Peter Pan line.
Yeah, exactly. You just got through the bedroom in Peter Pan.
I'll be on it here in just a few days for sure. Carmen hates that ride, by the way. I love Peter Pan. I think Peter Pan is a solid ride. I like it. Carmen hates it.
Yeah, could you explain one thing about that ride that you enjoy?
I just like the flight over, you know, I think you're flying in a beautiful little car and it's just an enjoyable little ride.
Boat. Yeah, it's a ship. It's no car. Have you even been on a ride, Jeff?
It's really a chairlift is what it is.
Yeah, you're in the air. Exactly. It's not a boat. It's a flying boat.
You still think that the cast member that waves his fingers over the lap bar really is using magic to bring that down, aren't you, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. That's magical.
While we're at it, for people with strange opinions, you also debated voting It's a Small World as your number one overall seed.
I did. It was my 3 seed, and I mean, I love that ride. It's that, to me, epitomizes Disney. It's the music, it's the upbeat, the inclusivity. I love it.
It's another nice car to ride in.
And it's another nice... That's a boat. I mean, that's clearly a boat. You're not flying over something.
Do you ride in a lot of cars that fly over things, Jeff?
Sure. I mean, it's a futuristic world we're living in.
All right. Well, before we run out of too much time here, first of all, I know that one of our panelists doesn't believe that these wins by Haunted Mansion and probably Pirates are even upsets. Is that correct?
I think so. I mean, and Stephanie might take this up later on. It sounds like she's a big Splash fan, but Pirates and Haunted Mansion and even Splash, the way it is right now, those are all just nostalgic rides that are Magic Kingdom. And I think that the audience has shown you that.
Well, I'll tell you what, those people who want to vote for Haunted Mansion and Pirates, they can just mosey right on over into those lines and get out of the line at the Mine Train.
That's right.
All right, let's go around predictions for the rest of the way. Who wins the Tournament of Rides?
That's tough.
Well, I got to look at the bracket.
So I think Rise of Resistance should win. I don't think they will. I don't think enough people have been on that attraction. So I'm going to say Flights of Passage is your winner.
I'll take Big Thunder. I think that's in that sweet spot of it'll be the best last thrillish ride standing that also has some of that old timey family feel.
So you think it can overcome Haunted Mansion or Pirates potentially back to back?
I think it's probably the only fast ride that can do that. I think it has that crossover appeal.
I think you're looking at a Big Thunder versus Soarin' matchup at the end. It appeals to all the ages. I think that it appeals to a great crowd, but I think I have to jump on and say I think Big Thunder takes it.
I think it's Rise of Resistance. I really do.
Keep an eye on Toy Story. Keep an eye on Midway Mania. I think that almost counts as a nostalgia ride by studio standards at this point, and similarly has some crossover appeal. So
I did watch Toy Story today, and I was having many musical moments of waiting in the queue and getting in the line and beating Toph.
All right. Well, thank you so much, panel. Obviously insightful as always. Cars at Peter Pan and waterfalls and who knows what else. Stay tuned, obviously. Cast your votes. The Tournament of Rides presented by World of Walt. We've reached the Sweet 16 or the Speedy 16, as we're calling it. And on we'll go to a champion. Thank you. It's time to tie up this episode of Not Your Mother's Goose and put a bow on it, but not without one last gift to stuff your stocking. I actually was not expecting to have a finished version in time for this episode, but out of the blue a couple of days ago, Andrew Mitchell sent me a new rough cut of a Rapunzel's Jukebox song, except it wasn't rough at all, it was ready, so we're gonna play it. For this one, we go back to a classic from the 60s from a band called The Circle, that's C-Y-R-K-L-E, a spelling suggested by John Lennon of all people. Why not? I suspect their best-known song was Red Rubber Ball, which sounds a lot like Red Riding Hood. Put together some verses, plus a chorus with Little Red asking the wolf to kindly stop trying to eat her, and you're off to a good start. Add a kazoo, and you've got Red Riding Hood by Andrew Mitchell here on Rapunzel's Jukebox on Not Your Mother's Goose.
I should have known when I caught your smell. There's a lesson I can learn from this, and I've learned it, holy hell. Now I know to lift the sheets and see what's underneath. Well, I thought you were my granny, but you had some massive teeth. but I think I'm gonna be alright. Cause the woodsman got me out, but please just stop your dining, Little Red Riding Hood. You've got that hair, it should have been my guide. Instead you wolfed my grandma down, had me on the side. Big eye staring, bonnet wearing face could use a lift. Thought I brought you flowers, but I guess I was the gift. But I think I'm gonna be alright, cause the woodsman got me out. But please just stop your dining, Little Red Riding Hood. Our story's in the past, there's nothing more to tell. Look out for talking wolves, for it won't be ending well. A tasty morsel meal you ain't got carved up in the end. I noticed you had giant ears, still thought you were my friend. But I think I'm gonna be alright, cause the woodsman got me out. But please just stop your dining, Little Red Riding Hood. Whoa, I think I'm gonna be alright, cause the woodsman got me out. But please just stop your dining, Little Red Riding Hood.
Andrew Mitchell with another awesome effort on Rapunzel's Jukebox. I haven't plugged his band, The Othership, lately, but be sure to check them out online or on Facebook. Plus, you can find a bunch of info on the Rapunzel's Jukebox page at notyourmothersgoose.com. And speaking of notyourmothersgoose.com, don't forget to stop by and cast those votes in the Speedy 16 of the Tournament of Rides presented by World of Walt. We'll be back here in 3 weeks, which will be right before the finals, so stay tuned for more, including an update on those flying cars on Peter Pan, thanks to our panel. Coming up on that next show as well, we'll check in with Old Mother Hubbard and learn about Scrooge McDuck's latest purchase, as he's going to see if he's got enough gold and silver to finally fix up London Bridge. Until then, thanks so much for listening, and remember to cast those ride votes. I'm Topher Goggin. Have yourselves a great holiday season. We'll be back in time for the finals. The goose is loose. We'll see you then on Not Your Mother's Goose.